healthy as a cat. Now, we don't stop and think about cats being healthy, but cats are very healthy. Cats are very healthy critters. Now, cats are able to belch from their tummy something that they don't want. They purge themselves of it. They eat a mouse and he doesn't taste too good. They got the inner parts of the mouse and they really didn't want that, so they belch it out. They get rid of what they don't want. Now, cats, if they smell something that they don't like, they get away from it. They don't want to be in an odorific situation that bothers them. Cats, if they smell a little gas, you know, like in the gas stove or something, they're out of there. They don't want to be around there. They don't think there's anything good or bad about it. They don't want to be there. Now, cats are always saying they see beautifully at night. And they see beautifully at night. Their eyes, their pupils, they open up very wide and very beautiful. And, of course, they have this color situation, which we'll talk about another day. But the color of the cat's eyes is so chosen to make their night vision most amazing. It's like flashlights. But it is inverted light. They see with a light that's not there. That is, they see without a flashlight. They see natural light that's all there. They see the livingness of substances that are there. The livingness of a mouse that's running through the field or something. They see that. Now, we haven't taught ourselves to see that. We taught ourselves just to see the running of the mouse along the field or something like that. And we don't realize that to see the energy of an object, to see the energy of the thing, is so important. Now, mice, perhaps they do too, but cats look at the energy of objects, and then that's their choice, you know. That's their choice. Now, why are cats healthy, by and large? You see very few sick cats. The only sick cats that you know about, and of course it's perhaps if a sick cat is sick in the wild, you don't know about it because he passes away out there, you know. But if a sick cat is sick in the house, then what do? We run to the vet with him. And when I was a youngster growing up, our cats lived long, healthy lives and never saw the vet in their life, you know. They were always perfectly healthy, perfectly happy, perfectly able. And when they had a problem, what's the first thing our dog or cat did when they didn't feel good? They crawled on the back porch. They want to get away from people. They want to get away from the attitude of people saying, oh, you're sick, oh, you're sick. They know they're sick, and they don't want to be sick, and they're not going to have that in that consciousness. They're going to get it out of their consciousness. Cats are healthy beings because cats constantly are in charge of their environment. They're in charge of their world. If anything's going on in their world they like, they participate. If they don't like it, they stand behind the tree or they climb up a tree and look down. They're always the observer. They're always the one who is making the decision. That's why people like cats so much, and that's why cats are choosy about the people they like. Cats don't like everybody because most people are not of a nature to be self-confident in themselves and to believe that they're healthy, to believe that they're nice. Now, cats don't want to be around people who are sick. They go off to be somewhere else. Now, it's not that they're not aware of your sickness and willing to say, peace, be still, you know. But what does a cat do when it crawls in your lap? It sits there and purrs. It settles down. And it is, as long as you will be aware of its purring and pet it, and as long as you will be peaceful with it, it stays. When you become upset, the cat leaves. The cat doesn't want to become a part of that. The cat wants to become a part only of a peaceful community, a peaceful household, a peaceful family, a peaceful body. Now, cats do not like to lay next to sick people. Now you say, well, I know some cats that like to lay next to sick people. But if you took 100 cats and 100 sick people, how many of them would have lay next to the sick people, maybe four or five of them, maybe 10. But out of 100, one-tenth of them, you know, not a bunch of them. Why not? Because they do not want to be in that environment. Cats want a peaceful environment. Cats want a quiet environment. Cats want a loving environment. Cats will, they'll snarl at you, get out of here, you know. And we teach dogs not to snarl, you know. But why does a dog like to be with a person who's ill? Well, he doesn't want to be with a person who's ill. He wants to be with a person who is peaceful and quiet. And the person usually is peaceful and quiet while they're ill. And the minute they really become peaceful and quiet, the illness just sort of lifts away like a cloud from the sick person. And every person, why do they do this purposely, they don't do it by their choice, but why is it that hospitals have learned to let people bring pets in? Because the pets bring a passive feeling of peace to the people. They bring a feeling of balance. They bring a feeling of harmony. Oh, let me hold them. Let me care. Hold them. You know, and your mother isn't there. Your kids aren't there. Your family isn't there to be hugged and loved. But that dog is, you see. And you can take that dog into your arms, or that cat into your arms, or that animal. And now, they don't only bring dogs and cats in the hospitals. They bring rabbits. They bring other things, too.
Horses.
Because they're such cuddly things, you know. And a rabbit isn't about to run away on you, you know. A rabbit just sort of sits there and snuggles in and does whatever. And as long as it knows that it's loved and wanted, it'll be there. But they are healing agents. Not because they heal you, but because they give you their balance. They give you their peace. Mm. Now, did Jesus ever heal anybody? Well, we think he did. But what did he do? He said, it's done unto you according to your
belief.
Your belief, your attitude about yourself. Now, what is your attitude about yourself? Is it peace? Then you're healed. Is your attitude is confusion? And if you hate people, and you're mad at people, and you want to tear people down, that's anger, that's hatred. That's not peace and balance, and that's not healing. And you cannot work with another person in peace and balance when you yourself are upset or angry at anybody. And if you watch these mobs on television and you see them angrily going after some, they're not going to accomplish anything. Some people are going to be hurt. And it shows people being dragged along the street by the police, you know, trying to get them out of wherever. And they're, you know, being dragged on their clothing and on the sidewalk and on the concrete. You know, that can't be very comfortable. Now, and that certainly isn't peaceful. But what is it? It's the naughty word that we have in our vocabulary, and it's a naughty word that we should learn to release. Self-righteousness. When you have the feeling of self-righteousness under any condition, any circumstance, you've lost all your control. You've lost all of your balance. You lost all of your gentleness, your kindness. Whenever you need to have a pat on the back from somebody else, you're not doing it yourself. But if you pat yourself on the back and shut up about it, then people like to be around you. But if you pat yourself on the back and say, aren't I good? Stuck in my thumb and pull out a plum and said, what a good boy am I? Well, you see, we didn't like him for sticking his thumb in the plum pie, you know, and pulling out a plum. But you see, what did we really like? We don't like Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall and he fell off, broke into all these pieces, and the king's men and horses couldn't put them together again. Why? Why couldn't they put them? Because he was the lack of balance. He shouldn't have fallen off that wall. Eggs don't fall off the wall. They fall off the wall if the wall's shaken or if they're pushed or something like that. And we, when we are allowing ourselves to be shaken or pushed and we get into trouble, then our balance is out of order. And then we say, I want a healing, I want a healing, I want this here. Well, you got to do it for yourself, and you got to be like the cat. Now, if you have any cats around you, those cats can be the most wonderful balancing heel. But they're not if you don't say, get off of me, you know, I've had enough of you, you know, this and this and that, and, you know, which is sometimes what we do. Sometimes we have this cat that we say we dearly love, and the cat knows how to get everything from us. And then as soon as the cat has whatever it wants from us, it goes its way. When it is done being petted, it is not there. And that's not a bad thing, but it can teach us a lesson. So we can eat the small piece of cake, see? And we can have a sip of water. We don't have to have the whole gallon, you know. We can take the gentleness out of life. And when we do that, then that's what we give back. Now, what is the Christmas story supposed to be all about? It's about giving. Giving presents, giving gifts, giving to others. Not receiving, but children know it only as receiving because the parents don't handle it well with children. If the parents were to train the children and say, now, all right, Anita, you're going shopping with me today, and we're going to buy presents for your sisters. And we're going to buy one present from you for each of your sisters. Now, what is it you'd like to give your sisters, or what do you think your sister, each one, would like to have specially, just from you, or just anybody, you know? And so then you go there, and you're constantly saying, Anita would like this. I'm Anita. Anita would like this. Anita would like this. You always think it for yourself because that's what you've been taught. But when you're taught to think of giving, then there's something that takes place inside of you. There's a big bubble, a bubble of peace and love and joy. And you just, I can't wait to give her the present. I don't want to wait till Christmas Eve to give her the present. And you say, that's what Christmas is all about. It's about the sharing. It's about the giving. And then what do I say when I go into the hospital to work with people? Other people bring them flowers and I
bring yourself.
I bring myself. I say, hey, I'm here. I'm the blessing, I'm the gift, you know. Mm-hmm. And they never forget me. Oh, Herb, when you were here, it was so wonderful. Oh, Herb, when you and I didn't think I was doing anything great. I was just being myself and having fun. But you see, this is what it's all about. Cats are healthy. And cats share that health. But they can't share that health with a person who doesn't want it. And a person who doesn't want health is a person who continually moans about their problem instead of about the joy of whatever it is that they want. Now, what do you want? As I talked about your sisters, Anita, did it make you feel good inside as you thought of giving each one a present? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it have to be big, small, mm-hmm. indifferent? It's a present from you. Mm-hmm. And they may still take it from you and say, ah, that's some from Anita. That's
I know. That happens.
That's the kind of gift that Anita gives, or that's the kind of gift that Ellen, or the mother who gives children things that they need. Like underpants and shorts and shirts and ties and belts and things like that. That should never be Christmas gifts, you know. Those should be gifts that you give when they need them as they're growing up through life, you know, and as the days go by. Now, when it was time for us to go back to school, we would come home from our lake cottage, but before we went home, we had the Sears catalog out there. And each one of us was allowed to pick a modest, a medium pair of priced trousers or blouses or shirts or whatever it is, and shoes and socks, one set, complete, mm-hmm. you know. And then it was ordered, and Sears sent it out with the catalog. And, you know, you had to know your sizes. But that was such a happy time that we spent in the Sears catalog. And I was not with you. I was alone in the catalog, and I chose it. And Mother decided whether it was right or wrong.
Yeah.
But you didn't get your noses in there, and I didn't get my noses in your thing, because that was a gift you were giving to yourself. And the gift you gave to yourself was not to be too expensive, because those were Depression years at the time we were doing that, but not to be cheap. because it's had to be quality that's going to last, because you can get cheap stuff that wears out the next day, you know. And of course, one of the biggest things Mom and Dad was on us kids about, do not slide down the hills in your good pants, you know. Put on your play clothes, put on your old stuff. And because if you slide down the hills in your good pants, you're going to stain them, you're going to rip them, you're going to do what with them. And but you see, those are things we learned, and they were gifts of love. They were gifts of healing. They were not, do, you know. It was a matter of, this is why we want you to do it. We want you to have nice clothes to wear to school. We want you to be happy wearing nice clothes to school so that you are like the other boys and girls, you know. Mm-hmm. And then during the summer we didn't wear our shoes. We saved them for school or for church, you know. Our Sunday going to meeting clothes, you know, was always there. And it lasted long. We didn't wear them very often. But that's healing. That's wholeness. That's balance. That's learning how to give. And we knew what Mother and Dad wanted us to do, and we did it. We chose accordingly, not stupidly. And we lived our life. We had a very happy family, very happy family. And all the neighbor children loved to come to our house. They loved to eat at our table, even though everybody had the same problems, you know. But they loved to eat at our table because Mother put family style, the food on the table, and everyone could take as much as they wanted, as much as they wanted to eat. And sometimes they take less of this or more of that, you know, which is perfectly okay. But, you see, that was the healing love that Mother showed to all of us. Mother was our cat. We had dogs and cats, but Mother was our cat. And she was a mother cat, and she just made us all feel that we belonged and all that was good. Now you can remember that from your own homes and your own lives, but the thing is, do that! Remember it! Because it's great. And you'll remember why you only have healthy cats. And you only have healthy cats because you have a healthy attitude about life. And I say to my Jeannie, thank you, Jeannie. I inherited you from Ingeborg, and Ingeborg, that's a lovely gift for you to give me. And Ellen, who are your cats? Names?
Mino and Sweetie.
Well, thank you. Now, which one do you like better? Which one is the nicer cat?
Huh? They're both special.
Both better.
Both special.
Special. Well, that's a good word for it, yeah. They're both special. Now, why are they special?
They're my cat.
Because they allow you to give your love to them. Mm. And you see, that's what makes them special. Now, if they wouldn't let you give them your love, they'd soon be off your list.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what makes a mother a mother. She's the mother of her family, and she loves them regardless of whether they appear to do things good or bad, but she always loves them. And the mother does not forgive her family. Why?
There's nothing to forgive.
There's nothing to forgive. Mm. And that's the way Anita's family were, and that's the way all of our families are. And ask Rex about his mother. He'll tell you. He says, I've only got one mother. And that's, and her name's Ellen.
Hey, Rex. That's so funny.
That's cute.
And this is the way our lives are. Now, remember, healthy cats, that's all we ever know. That's all you'll ever see. And they're wonderful.
Rotterdam.
And when Leslie, my son's wife, goes to the rescue centers, she looks for the animals, the dogs, and the cats that need extra love. They apparently didn't have it. And so she takes them home, and within an amazingly short time, she and Mark bring those cats from emaciated cats, sick cats with every pot, and dogs with every pot, wholeness, because Mark and Leslie just love them. Mm-hmm. And love them without limitation. Mm-hmm. Blind or hearingless or whatever. Mm-hmm. And can you say the same thing?
Yeah.
So, let's look at every cat and feel as healthy and wonderful as that cat does. And know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.